We have quite a story here. In the 17th chapter, we have war between the seed of the woman and God and the seed of the Antichrist, the seed of Satan. The seed of God and the seed of Satan at war. And we have here the bride of the Antichrist, the bride of the Antichrist. The bride of the Lord, of course, is His church, which is safely in heaven at this time. And those down on the earth going through this horrible time, and I can guarantee you one thing, Israel deserved this. Israel deserved what she got, but she doesn't really deserve the mercy of God, but it is because of God's unconditional covenant with Abraham and David. Chi El Thane is how it starts. And he came, one out of the seven angels, the one having the seven bowls, and he spoke in human language, that's what it says there, with me, saying, Duro Dexo, you come up here, and I shall point out to you. I shall point out to you Tais Poenes, the harlot. The harlot. Now, the harlot, the great, the one setting upon waters many. The harlot, the pornes. This word, we get pornography from it. We get prostitution from it. We get homosexuality from it. We get all of these horrible sexual sins from this word. And the worst sexual sin that a person can commit in this world is spiritual adultery. Spiritual fornication. That's to go whoring after other gods. There is a God of heaven. There is a God of heaven. And Satan's greatest desire when he rebelled against God, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, is he went up into heaven and he tried to overthrow God. Now, Satan has had one goal ever since he rebelled against God, and that's destroy man, destroy your life and my life, destroy every person that has ever been born on the earth, and to thwart and to imitate God's religion. God has always had some way that we're to come to Him, whether it was in the garden. He had absolute contact with a woman, deceived her, and caused man through that to sin and rebel against God. And when God called out His church, Satan called out many churches and designed many churches to completely confuse the human race as to how to worship God, because all of us have this intuition in us. That's what we study in systematic theology, that we are to seek God. Now, every time God did something, here we have responsibility to do good and offer a blood sacrifice, and man was wicked in Genesis 6th chapter, so Satan got involved in that. We know the promulgation of humans and angels and all of the wickedness that was going upon the earth at that time. That's very straight in the book, in the Hebrew language, what happened. The wickedness and the judgment was a universal flood. Then God set up human government. So what happened there? We have Nimrod, one world empire, the foretaste of this horrible thing that we have here, which began again in Catholicism, the church and the state, and then it began in Islam, and then we have all of this here. We have the destruction of between 50 and 100 million Christians by Catholicism, and 270 million people destroyed by Muhammad and his religion. So we have Satan working alive and well And if he can get you, if he can get humans to focus their indelible, what we call attraction to God, away from God, and into some false religion, that's exactly what he wants. And that's what's happened here. The harlot, the great whore, the great prostitute that has wallowed in evil and perversion from the time of Constantine and Muhammad all the way to the present tense. And every cult and every ism that you can think of, Satan is screaming and saying, I have overcome! I have overcome. Because he's twisted and wrested people away from seeing the real Jesus of the Bible into some false concept of religion. And religion means what, Sharon? The act of binding back again. So instead of binding themselves back to God, they have bound themselves away from God in this false religious system, which I believe is Islam here. The fig tree parable, the parable of the tares, all of this, the binding of the tares and all of these parables that we have seen all the way from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in this way are culminating in here, right here. To seek false gods is to go whoring after them and fornicating after them. The parable of the fig tree is a parable of what? Judgment. And we see all of this. The Son of Man is hungry for our fellowship, isn't he? And he went to that tree. And that tree was barren, and he cursed that tree, and it died all the way down to its roots. Now, the harlot here is sitting over many waters. What's the waters represent, Sharon?
Population.
What?
People.
People. People. How many Muslims are there in the world today?
2.7 billion.
Yeah, 2.7 billion. How many Christians? They have greatly outweighed them, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Satan is working in this age. If you're out there in the true church, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and have trusted Him and repented of your sins and asked Him to save your soul, you are very, very lucky and fortunate. It's fortuitous that that has happened to you. Because much of the world is wandering after that beast. Then it says in verse number 2, and with whom that they practiced fornication, the kings of the earth. Remember when Muhammad came up, and, 610, 15, 20 A.D., something like that, he started his religion in Mecca, then he went to Medina, he made a contract with the Jews that they would coexist, annulled that contract with them. He began right after he left to persecute and to murder and to kidnap and to attack his own family, the Quraysh. And he went out conquering with a sword. And by the end of his life, they had completely brought all of Arabia under the edge of his sword. And already they had begun to attack the Christians that actually had given him asylum in the beginning. Now the kings of the earth. Every one of those kings, wherever they were in every land, had to swear allegiance to Muhammad or else die or pay the tax that you're not a Muslim. And the tax is protection money that you won't be killed. You've heard about the Godfather and the mafias and all this. The whole story. And they began to be, the word here is methio. They began to be drunk under the influence of the ones inhabiting the earth out of the wine of the fornication of her. Have you out there seen any beheadings on television? They were videotaped of the beheadings of Christians in these Muslim countries? Well, God sees every one of them. God, the God of the Bible. This is Allah versus God. This is Allah versus Jesus. This is Allah versus Jehovah God. Well, Jehovah's going to win in the end, isn't he? But they think, and they're going to fight until the very last person. They're going whoring after strange gods right now. That Kaaba is another one of those strange gods. The ones homing, down homing or dwelling upon the earth out of the wine of the fornication of her. It is natural for man to seek God, is it not? God has revealed himself in our hearts. He's revealed himself how?
In nature.
And he's revealed himself through his word. And Muhammad comes up and he says, the Bible is a corruption book. You can't believe the Bible, but believe my writings. Believe my... A verse came down. Now it says, and he carried away me unto a desert. The desert? Arabia. Out into the desert. The sea of sands and the spirit. And I saw a woman setting upon a beast. This false religious system is setting upon this beast. This Mahdi. All of Islam is looking for that Mahdi, whether they're Sunnis or whatever they are, whatever denomination, are looking for a Mahdi. And when that Mahdi comes, that Mahdi is going to dissolve all of those differences into one group, one jihad. Before jihad can be declared upon the world, there must be a caliphate. And the Mahdi will come and he will establish that caliphate. And the woman sitting upon the swift-running scarlet beast, being filled with blasphemies. There is no God but Allah. He has no companion. He has no son. And Muhammad is his messenger. The most blasphemous thing that you can say to the God Jehovah of the Bible. Having heads 7 and horns 10. Heads 7 and horns 10. You'll look down and you realize that there were 7 empires. There has been 6 empires. And there will be a 7th, and then there will be a revision, that 8th one. This is the same as the Antichrist and the beast in Revelation 13 and 1. And Revelation 6 and 1, remember that beast came out, this Antichrist come out wearing riding a white horse. And then he went to a different color horse, and different color red horse and black horse, and then that green horse. Satan has never appeared to mankind in all reality in a human figure, but now he will. Islam says that the Mahdi will be reincarnated, personage of Muhammad himself through his daughter Fatima, that he'll have the absolutely spirit of Muhammad in him. In Genesis 3:15, God telling Satan that his seed will war against the seed of the woman, and that he will dwell a crippling blow to the seed of the woman, but that the seed of the woman will overcome him finally and completely. But Satan here will be the seed of this Antichrist, this Mahdi here will be of the seed of Satan himself, dwelled and clothed in human flesh. Does that make you creepy? Rosemary Baby and all those movies and Damien and all of that, this is all really going to happen one of these days. Verse number 4. And the woman, she kept on having been clothed with purple royalty and scarlet and having been gilded, gold-plated. She's gold-plated, gold-plated woman. And covered in all types of precious stones and pearls, Margarita, Letho, Timio, and then Margaritas, pearls. All kinds of precious stones and pearls. Having a golden cup in the hand of her, being filled with the abominations and unclean fornication of her, this cup filled with it. You know, the Bible tells us to pray always, doesn't it? Satan's influence to Muhammad, supposedly he had this dream about going up into the seventh heavens and got up there and kept arguing with Allah how many times a day a man from 50 down, and he got it down to 5 times a day he's supposed to be praying. But only Muhammad knew how to, at that posture of prayer was better than Jesus or Adam or Moses or anybody. He was the one that would lead them in prayer because he did it better. I'm going to tell you something. You can pray to God laying on your back, laying on your face, looking up, walking down the road, driving down the road. You don't have to go someplace and wash your hands and face and get down in this position to kneel and pray to God. And by the way, only a small percentage of Muslims know the Arabic language, but they have to pray in Arabic because God only knows one language. Allah only knows one language. That's Arabic. And they know what they're praying. They're just reciting something. Are they really praying? No. Vain repetition. And then it says about this great harlot, the mother of harlots. And upon the forehead of her is the name. That word onama means authority. Having been written, Mystery of Babylon, Mysterion Babylon. This Babylon is real Babylon. It's really over there in the Middle East. It's not New York City. It's not in Rome. It's really in Babylon. Babylon the Great, the mother of fornications and abominations of the earth. God warned people all the way from the Tower of Babel not to worship idols and not to what? Bow the knee to false gods or to men. Jesus said that many, many people will come after me saying that they are Christ, a Messiah, that they have a better way. And Muhammad come up there and he said, everybody else has been wrong before me, even though he didn't say, Zayed said this before I did. We're going to go back to the religion of Abraham. The mother of secret religions. Secret religions. I remember we have all types of secret cults, don't we? Secret initiative, dark sayings like that. All the way back in the early times of Nimrod and his mother. The mother of lies, the mother of liars, and Genesis, the 11th chapter of the Tower of Babel. Semiramis, the high priest of idol worship. Semiramis gave birth to a son who she claimed she had conceived as a virgin miraculously from one of the gods. The son was given the name of Tammuz, and he was considered to be the savior of his people, a false messiah. Here we have false religion hanging on the promises of that savior in Genesis 3:15. All of this, and a type of it, almost fitting the description of it. Tammuz we have as the picture of Mary and Jesus, so to speak. The chief priests of Babylon wore crowns in the form on the head in the form of a fish, Dagon, the fish god. Dagon was the keeper of the bridge between this life and the afterlife. And we see that in Egypt too, don't we? All the pharaohs and all that. We see a mass of confusion dumped on the human race to delude them and lead them away from God. And the God of the Bible is so simple, isn't he? Jesus. Do you know Jesus? He's real. Do you have that forgiveness of sins? Do you have him in your heart and in your life? The Roman emperor had imprinted on his crown Pontifex Maximus. And that's what is on the head of the Pope also. Ex-cathedral. Muhammad called himself the Apostle of God. The Roman Catholic Church called Constantine the Great the Apostle of God. And every pope after that is Pontifex Maximus or the Apostle of God in continuous revelation. But we have a revelation here that is the final and complete revelation. We don't need anything else. The Bible says, do not mix God's religion with paganism. And that's what Rome did. And all reality, that's what Muhammad did. That Kaaba stone is nothing but paganism. It's idolatry. Marching around there seven times like they did for 100 years before Muhammad. And all he does is makes an application to that to his own religion. And that we're marching around that stone and laying your hands on that stone, you have forgiveness of sin and it absorbs your sin. When the Bible says that there's only one way to be forgiven of sin, and that's by God himself. And it says that the woman was drunk out of the blood of the saints and out from the blood of the witnesses of Jesus and wandered, having seen her, this wondrous great evil that she has produced. 17 verse 6. And upon her forehead is name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered. How did all of this happen? Do you see the master plan of Satan? Do you see it? And he said to me, the angel, because of why did you wander? Why are you struck out of your senses? And he said, I shall tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast, the one carrying her, and the one having the seven heads and the 10 horns. The great empires, the 7 great empires were Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, the Greek, the Roman, the Islamic Ottoman Empire, and the revision of the 8th will be the revision of the 7th Empire. That is the mystery. Why did you want her? The one having the 7 heads and the 10 horns. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7 talks about this. Revelation 1:20, Revelation 6 chapter, Revelation 17 and 5. And the beast, the Therion, which you saw, he kept on being and not he is, and he's about to come back up again out of the abyss. And unto destruction he goes, and they shall wonder, they shall seek after, be caused to seek after, in a state of shock, the ones coming down and dwelling upon the earth, of whom not has been written the name in the book of life from the foundation, from before the foundation of the whole world system. We know back here in eternity past, the Bible says in Genesis 1 and 1, and I believe the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? Sharon, has the Bible in Hebrew really opened your eyes?
No, completely.
Completely. How about it, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You don't have, you're not subject to theological fantasies and fads. Barashith bara Elohim eth hashamayim we eth haaretz. Just say that together. Barashith bara Elohim eth hashamayim we eth haaretz. That's a statement of fact. That's not maybe. It says, Barashith, Baith, page 88, Roche, page 912, and Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and then the Tau on the end of it, that's plural. And what it says is, in one of beginnings, literally. In one of the beginnings, he had created God, the heavens and the earth. Now, he created the heavens, the Hashemayim, that means the whole universe, and then he took the earth and placed it in exactly the right spot, because there is where he's going to deal with the whole universe, right there on earth, planet earth. There's where God's going to become flesh. He's going to carry out the whole economy of God's plan is on this little insignificant planet. And I heard you girls talking a while ago. When you start studying about history and you start studying the whole Bible, you feel so insignificant, don't you? So nothing. We are only one generation of people in hundreds of generations, thousands of generations in God's economy. Yet God knows each one of His, doesn't He? Does that make you feel special? We feel insignificant, but we feel special because God loves you. God called you to salvation and eternal life. In space and time, He did it. And you mean something to Him. The beast, the governments, that government was dissolved in March the 3rd, 1922, that Islamic Empire. But ever since then, Islam has been calling for another caliphate. Because without a caliphate, they can't declare war on the world. They got to have a Mahdi. And they're looking for him. And here we have these seven kings. Here is the mind of the one having wisdom. And I'm sure don't have a lot of wisdom. But I've been around a long time. I know one thing. In the beginning, God created a perfect earth. And in Genesis 1 and 2, it says, We ha'aretz hathiatuhu wavuhu. We hoshuk el panei hamayim. We ruah elohim meripacheth el panei hamayim. It says, in the earth, she became formless and void. It says, first of all, the earth had been completely created. And here we have these people that believe that God created a mush. Out of chaos, and then out of chaos he brought order. God does not create chaos. Satan creates chaos. Look at the job he's done in religion. He's done it in every way. And it says, and the earth she had become formless and void, and there was darkness over the face of the deep. And then it says, Spirit God, Ruah, Elohim, Meripacheth, mourned over the faces of the waters. And then God began to put the earth back together. When God convicted you of sin, righteousness, and judgments, it's just like Genesis 1 and 2. God was suffering over you, trying to bring you to life. His Son suffered on the cross of Calvary so many years ago. He suffered there in the Garden of Gethsemane over you, you insignificant little person. And He called you you insignificant little person, to eternal life. The seven governments, the seven mountains are seven governments. The woman is false religion. The seven kings over the seven governments, and the eighth one is one of the seven that has been killed but exalted to a higher rank. And the ten horns are ten kings and rulers. 17 and verse 9. Here's the mind, one having wisdom. The heaven mountains are seven governments. Therefore the woman sets upon them. And the kings are, there are seven. And there are five that fell. And the one he is, and the other not yet to come. And whenever he may come for a little while, it is bindingly necessary for him to remain. And the beast, which kept on being and not he is, even the eighth he is, and out of the seven he is, and unto destruction he goes. The Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greek, Roman, Ottoman Empire, and the revision of that Ottoman Empire. And the ten horns, which is, you saw, are ten kings they are, who a kingdom not yet they have received, but authority as a king for 1 hour they received it by the agency of the swift-running beast. And I believe this is where Islam goes and conquers basically nearly all of the world. But there are going to be people here that believe, aren't there? There are people going to believe in Jesus that time. And right in the middle of the week of the tribulation period, Israel is going to wake up when they see him standing in the temple there in Jerusalem saying that he is God and worship him. And they have one mind. In verse number 13. And they have one purpose and one mind, and they give their power and authority to the beast. All these nations do. They're going to swear allegiance to this beast, to this Mahdi. And these will wage war against the Lamb. The war of the two seeds. The war of the worlds. Two worlds. The world of darkness, the darkness of Satan, and the world of the light of God's Son. And the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of the lords and King of kings. He is Adonai HaAdonaim. That's the Hebrew. This is the Hebraism. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And those who are with him are the called, the elect, and the chosen and the faithful. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are people. See this, Marilyn? See that? The waters are people. Sharon, do you see that? They're people. It interprets it for us. And multitudes and nations and languages. And ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh, and will turn her or burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God should be fulfilled. And you know that the Lord is going to turn these people against each other too. They're already fighting all over the world, aren't they? The Muslims, fighting Muslims, killing Muslims. But right when all this takes place, again, they're going to be a kind of a revolution. And the woman you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. And we'll start the next time with the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. Sharon, do you have a question? It is challenging.
Yeah.
Do you're understanding it better this time?
Yeah, because I was years ago. I thought the woman was the Catholic Church. I thought the woman,
Yes.
A lot of things.
The Catholic Church was a type of what would happen, and many people really believe that it's going to be revised Roman Catholicism. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe it's going to be Islam. And all the false religious systems are going to go to them. Even the Pope is bowing to Islam today. He's afraid to insult Islam, isn't he? He's afraid to insult Islam. Sharon, Marilyn, do you have a question? We don't want to leave you out here. You have a question? It's talking about Babylon, but I'm going to tell you, where is going to be the head of Babylon at this time? Where is it going to be, Sharon?
Israel?
It's going to be in Jerusalem. Because Islam is going to move the Kaaba stone. They're going to build a temple and make a covenant with the Jews, a contract, a peace treaty with the Jews, and they were going to build a temple in Jerusalem, and you can donate to that temple today online if you want to through Jerusalem. Through the Jews. They want to go back. They already got all their garments done, everything else. And they're going to have their temple. But it's going to be the Antichrist temple. But in the middle of that 7-year covenant contract treaty, the Antichrist, the Mahdi, is going to break it. He's going to stand in there and say that he is God. And remember that Muhammad said he shared all the attributes of Allah. What did Muhammad call Allah? The many veiled Allah, isn't it? But you never will see an Islamic picture of Muhammad unless he has what on? A veil. You got it? They haven't got it. Did you got it? All right. If you're out there, if you're listening and you're a Muslim, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. The Quran is not a holy book. It's a book of terror. Muhammad said on the last years of his life, the last months of his life, strike terror into their hearts. We have the terrorists. That's Muhammad. That's his orders. ISIS is his religion. And maybe you think you're a moderate Muslim or a peaceful Muslim. Well, I guarantee you when the Mahdi comes, he's going to call you to perform jihad. And you will have no choice but become a terrorist or die. Muhammad said himself that if anyone wouldn't die for Islam and Allah, that he should have his head cut off. That he should be treated as an infidel if he will not perform jihad. And jihad is not that suffering inner conflict. It is war. And the wages of war would booty. And it tells you how to divide up the booty. Anything else before we have a prayer?
Well, this war is all centered between Euphrates and the Tigris River.
It's all over there in the Middle East. Yes. It's not New York City. Not in London. That's all centered in the Middle East. That's what it's talking about because Jerusalem is the center. And Jerusalem is going to be the center of Islam and Jerusalem is going to be the center of Judaism. Except they're going to run down and God will protect them. He's going to protect them down there for how long? How long is he going to protect? How long is God, Jehovah, going to protect Israel?
Three and a half
years, the last 3.5 years. That's what it's talking about here. All right. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out for you. We send the message out for those that are not believers, that they will come and come to the saving knowledge of your Son, your companion, your Savior, Adonai HaAdonaiim, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the only way of salvation. You don't want us to die for you. You died for us. In Jesus' name we send this out. Forgive me where I fail you. Help us to glorify you with our lives. In our Savior Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.